All right, welcome back. Welcome back to Greenbox Gaming Plays Delta Green Impossible Landscapes. My name is Joe. I'm joined by my very good friends, John.
Hello.
John playing Benedict. Say hi.
Hi.
Hello, John. I am joined, of course, by Brad playing Hank.
Hello.
And, of course, by Dace playing Benji.
Professional podcaster? What?
Who is a professional? No one here, good sir.
Brad had a party at his house for Maria's birthday, and somebody... Oh, wait, no, this is a different party. I went to two parties last night. I'm doing great, you guys. But point being, somebody came up to me and was like, I hear you have a podcast. And all I felt was a deep sense of shame.
Wow.
That is fair. That is very, very fair. I mean, you know, we've talked about how hard it is to explain, like Delta Green or even just tabletop RPGs in general. But like, yep, everyone knows what a podcast is, but everyone, yep, also knows that everyone and their mom has their own shitty podcast.
Yep. Therein lies the shame. It's like, I promise it's not like that. I hope. I don't think.
No, it's good.
We have fun. We celebrate having fun.
Yeah, we're just having a good time.
He said impotently.
Had they listened to the podcast?
No.
No, of course not. No one's listening to this.
Can you blame them?
Can you blame them? You know, actually... Hold on. Actually, let me pull something up real quick. We had someone... I saw someone was... And this is a comment from a few weeks ago, actually. And someone put on one of our YouTube videos where I had tried, at the end of the episode... I had tried to say, you know, oh, go to our Patreon, you know, and stuff. And I got, like, all tongue-twisted.
Sure.
And their response in the comment was, Patreon instructions unclear. A guy with a snake around his neck showed up and is telling me the secrets of the universe.
Very nice.
That was the wisest emu, I assume, one of our Australian listeners.
That's sad.
Or just an emu fan.
It's easy
fan.
To stumble upon an incantation of such dark nature.
Right. Guys, I wanted to ask you something. I recently, this last week, I've been moving in. I was just telling the guys, I'm considering myself 98% moved in. Like, there are just a few tiny things, but...
I mean, you could bring Gabby in the house at this point. Probably.
That's
where's she been sleeping, by the
that's
way?
That's the last 5%.
Did she give her a tip?
The 0.5% is actually letting my wife get in here. But she works nights, so like she left to work, and I was like, you know what? Like, there's, you know, yeah, there's some more stuff I could kind of move around, but like, yeah, I'm gonna have a sandwich. I'm gonna sit down and watch something, and I was like, I'm gonna watch something I never heard of. I'm like, hell, I'll watch some anime. I haven't watched some anime on old Crunchyroll for a while, right? But I don't really know what's going on in the anime world. I'm not like a big anime watcher. But I was like, I've heard of this Chainsaw Man thing. Let's give it a go. Okay. And
I think it's kind of cool.
And boy, howdy, I was like, wow, this was not what I was expecting. But I was pleasantly surprised. It really surprised me with it. First of all, the animation style, incredible. Like, very the style of how it's done, very good. But I was just not. I didn't know what was a chain going in. I didn't know what was supposed to be a chainsaw and what wasn't. I had
so
no
wait,
idea.
You, the man, the man's a chainsaw. Joe.
It's a simple concept. A man and a chainsaw.
And a chainsaw. What's their name?
I've tried to get Dace to watch it more. I think we gave it two episodes and Dace didn't want to have any more of it or something.
I need to revisit it though. Like, sometimes I get too in my opinions, and like my opinion when we watched it the first time that it was just spectacle for the sake of spectacle. and that rubbed me the wrong way. But maybe if I go into it knowing that's what it is.
Yeah. What did you think Chainsaw Man was going to be?
I just thought it was going to be tame, you know?
That is hard to argue with.
But, like, it was pretty good. Now, I pretty much, like, in, like, 2 days, I pretty much watched all of it. And I was like, oh, this is good. I enjoyed this. Because it was, like, but it just surprised me. Like, I wasn't expecting it. I kind of went into it blind. What is John?
Would Gabby not go for Chainsaw Man? Is that why this was, like, your bachelor choice?
Probably. I predicted that she would have not have given Chainsaw Man a fair shake.
And was it accurate? Do you think it's accurate still?
Yes.
Or is she watching? Okay, alright.
Yes.
Fine.
But I was gonna ask you guys, like, what's the last thing that you went into blind? You know, something you'd never... You're like, I'm gonna give this a
your
go.
Mom.
And Benji dies. Alright, thanks everyone for showing up today. It's been
Patreon
great.
Details, get them clearer.
But yeah, what's the last thing you guys kind of tried? You went into blind and you were like really pleasantly surprised that it was that was as good as it was. I know Brad doesn't typically like to he spends
God,
a lot of time
don't say Congo
in,
again
in an unpainted room.
Don't say Congo.
Well, now that you mention it, someone else go. I'm thinking.
We already told him and his answer doesn't work.
I got one. League of Legends. No idea.
League of Legends.
Fucking amazing.
Oh, that is such a good one.
Are you talking about...
No expectations.
Are you talking about the... is there a show?
I thought that was an app.
Yeah, it's a TV show.
Based on the app?
It's a show.
Really?
It has
reason to be as good as it is. It's actually
it's
fantastic.
Amazing.
It's actually good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
No. It's fantastic.
Yep.
Well, because you...
Not just good.
Well, and John, you play Dota, so I imagine you going into League of Legends, just like, no. League, it can't be good.
No.
Those are rival games?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I had zero expectations, and those days behind me, Joe. I don't want to be the guy that played Dota.
I've been clean for 3 years.
Yeah,
exactly. Dota
badge
clean.
And everything.
Yeah. I go to my meetings.
But yeah, that's a great one, John. A similar experience. Our friend Jake, who's been brought up before, we went to Austin to visit, and he showed me the first 3 episodes, and I was like, "What the fuck? What is this?" I thought it was like an app, but now it's like a fantastic story.
That's what I was gonna say. So like, I wasn't aware. Okay, so without spoiling, because I might go back and watch this without spoiling too much, like. So I didn't think that the game really had much of a story, necessarily.
No,
so this is
nothing,
something very nothing. Just within the show.
They just decided to use the rights and make an amazing story, which is in and of itself surprising and fantastic.
Okay.
So yeah, let's not hop on too much, but go watch that. It's great.
Have I told you about the YouTube documentary about the making of it? Because
no.
That's like almost as fascinating as... like it's such a fucking crazy story.
It was
the showrunner,
like a small team.
This dude who has never done anything like this before. He had zero experience,
wow.
And it was just like his passion project. Okay. Highly recommended. Check
All
out
right,
that.
I'll check that out.
YouTube.
Okay. Well, League of Legends from Jean. Jean's entry into the wasn't expecting it category.
I've thought of something.
So, Joe, when do we become a podcast that is just actually a recommendations channel?
I don't
know. We're tending that way.
We're walking the line.
Is that
such a bad thing, though?
Yeah.
No.
But it depends on if you like our taste or not. You'd be like, these guys.
Surely, if they've stuck around this far, they at least can stand us.
Or at least palatable.
Palatable. There's our tagline.
Palatable.
Palatable.
Oh god, tepid, like not hot, not tepid. Cold.
tepid. ..
But
palatable. But
palatable.
We have to make t-shirts. One of these things we say has to be on a t-shirt.
We've already been talking about t-shirts.
It's just
today.
Like it's our logo with a 2.5 out of 5 stars, and just palatable.
There you go.
Let's do like 3 out of 4 faces, and then we have to choose whose face to cray out. That's what we're going to do.
It's Brad's.
It's oh, hey.
That's
what if we had t-shirts and we had different options, like you could get 3 out of 4 like, and we had votes and like whoever. That would just be needlessly cruel.
Yeah.
Okay. So harsh. But funny.
Okay, so we got League of Legends. Okay, and so Dace and Brad. What are we looking at?
Yep. Do you got one yet, Brad?
Yeah, I thought of one. This wasn't recently, but also we'll just do stay on the anime.
Pokemon Gold.
have you ever heard of it? One Punch Man was great.
Really?
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's like a wacky, stupid, basically comment on anime fighting genre.
Is there a lot of screaming for 3 episodes?
Not as much as Dragon Ball Z, but yeah.
It takes all the tropes of fighting animes and absolutely turns them on their head. It's also fantastic.
Yeah. I'll have to give that one a go.
In the realm of the great rather than the good.
Good. You got one? You locked and loaded?
I got a blast from the past. This is maybe the first time this ever happened. And you were there, actually, Joe. It's when me, you, and my brother Robert were at the meth house, which is
the meth house
that my mom used to rent.
Yep.
And we watched...
There was no meth while we were there. We just always thought, this seems like a house that someone would do meth in. Yeah.
We should probably clarify that. Good call. But there's a weekend on Cartoon Network's Toonami where they showed like a different classic anime film every weekend for like a month.
Yeah.
I don't remember which one was first, but the one I remember the most was Princess Mononoke.
Dude, and I remember us watching, because we had never heard of Studio... Well, I mean, hell, like the internet wasn't that big Studio back Ghibli. Then.
Mm-hmm.
But like we had never heard of Studio Ghibli, and it's like... And we watched Princess Mononoke all together, and we were just blown away.
Yep, like never been exposed to Miyazaki.
That came on Cartoon Network?
Yeah.
It did.
Oh, wow.
It did.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's just this
That's
one
really
month.
That's a really happy surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's and it's a great memory.
Yeah, and it's like...
You said it was super late at night on Toonami, on whatever, the Adult Swim or something?
It had to be later in the evening, because Toonami was later, right?
Oh, so it wasn't like at night, it wasn't Adult Swim, like 1 a.m.?
No, I don't think so. But it was, dude, it was so good. Yeah, and then going on to like watch like Howl's Moving Castle, you know, mm-hmm. or Spirited Away. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, nothing will ever be quite like the, yeah, what's this anime movie that's on? And just being just like completely enamored with it.
Yeah. Was not prepared for how radical it was.
Yeah, and it's like, God, like it. Maybe we are just a recommendation channel. I don't know. If you've never seen, I mean, a lot of people listen to this probably have, but it's like, if you've never seen Princess Mononoke or any of the Studio Ghibli stuff, you know, if you're not really into it, like, it is not, it, like, they're very much so incredibly story and character driven, you know, that They're not like Chainsaw Man and One Punch Man, where they're like these anime spectacles. Like, they are just like the story and the, I don't know, like this might be a bit much. This might be a bit over the top, but like,
whoa, boy.
This might be a bit over the top, but like, I don't know if any movie has ever made me feel like, wow, like this is like the kind of a magic of watching a movie and like pulled into the story and like being pulled in the world.
Accurate.
Princess Mononoke might be like right up there at the
top.
Well,
you haven't seen Congo mm-hmm. yet, so.
God.
Oh, expertly, masterfully executed, Brad. Well done, sir. Joe is being so honest and sincere, and you just fucking spread your butt cheeks and shit all over him. At exactly the right
moment.
Oh,
God.
Well done.
All right. Well, speaking of unexpected turns, let's talk about possible landscapes. How about that? Oh, God.
You know what? I'm just going to say, I hope people enjoy those segments, but then they're also, like, just waiting for when the segue is going to happen, and hopefully it's a good one. Instead of just listening to us talking shit.
All right. So, last time, you guys, you know, we did some music from A Darkened Room, so it's been a minute. Last time, you guys are in the Hotel Broad album. After everything that's gotten here, after 1995, and... back at Abigail Wright's apartment, coming back in 2015, you know, and, you know, everything that happened with the Dorchester house, going to Vegas, you know, the Ophelia Citrus house, getting imprisoned in the night world, in the night world version of the Dorchester, escaping, coming back into the real world, back to Boston, and seeing things falling apart, getting up and going to Chicago, and being then pulled even deeper as the world fell apart, until you finally got to the Hotel Broad album. You've met a cast of weird and wacky characters. Some you've known, some are new. But last time we played, you guys took your newfound friend, Private Lobolus, a soldier who is convinced that he's in some type of purgatory hell. You took him along with you. Which, as we know, GMs worldwide will tell you was a terrible idea on my part. I should never have allowed it. Because all it does is make more fucking work. but, so, you guys grab a bolus, and you begin to search. Now, you went up to the room and fixed the room. You know, Hank actually had this experience where he saw this whole other world, and he managed to kind of snap out of it and to fix the room. You guys followed the sommelier, this mannequin that seems to be involved with the bottle-making process. You followed him, and then the mechanics of the game caught up with us. And you guys had to manage some mental breaks in the stairwell, and you lost track of the sommelier in the basement. You then tried to skate the basement. You didn't have a lot of luck. You found the laundry room. You found the other side of the laundry chute, where a long time ago, like in real world terms, like maybe almost a year ago, you guys saw someone down the chute. You dropped notes to them. Maybe it was Benedict this whole time. You guys then continued through, and you came across a friend, Charlie. Charlie himself. Apartment 2, the second one. You went and finally had some tea in his creepy apartment full of dolls. Of handmade dolls. And he tells you, yeah, I can take you to the ballroom. You guys had heard about a ballroom. You're like, he's like, yeah, I can take you there. You know, I could probably take you to the labyrinth, you know, because I've got this job I need done. I've got some rats up in the vents. And of course,
jeez.
What did the team do? They took poor Private Rovin Lobolus, and they rolled. I believe Jean as Benedict rolled a critical success on convincing him to crawl up in the vent with his pistol. And who knows what happened to him up there? Because when he came out, he was not well. And then you guys rolled. Tried to roll to try to snap him out of it. You failed all that. I believe there was a devil's bargain made between me and Dace about whether or not, about what was going to happen. It failed. And you ended up fighting him and basically beating him to a pulp as he tried to murder you. And now...
it's very tragic.
Well, when you put it that way. Fault.
And we...
Just everybody can see how it was not our fault. That pad
and
out.
we left off with Charlie here with you guys saying, well, I guess I can take you now. After just watching all of this happen. So you guys are, we're just going to say at this point in time, you guys, you know, kind of come out of the closet. You know, let's not worry about what do we do with Lobolus. Well, let's say you take him back to Charlie's apartment or something, and Charlie says that he'll look after him. We don't need to get off in the weeds.
I could
on that.
Roll a strength check to see if I carry him for the rest of the game.
And I can roll an aid for that strength check.
No.
I would also like to do a heel.
No.
Having to puppeteer.
No. 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 If you try to pick him up, he dies. That's
no, 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 no. Fun challenge for all the listeners. See how many times you can get your GM to say no consecutively. We're up to four right now.
So Charlie says he can take you know care of him, you know, he can stick him in his apartment, you know, until he comes to and
I thought he was dead, so he's not dead.
He's not dead. You guys have you guys actually beat him to I think 2 HP, which makes him unconscious.
Okay.
You know? And you didn't.
Well, then we're gonna come back to him, definitely.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I'm sure when you come back he'll be ready to go.
Benedict looks at the other two and he's like, that guy's gonna make a doll out of him. I feel sorry for him, but he's going to become a petrified doll by the end of it.
Maybe we should leave a note and stick it to him and say, don't move. We'll be right back.
Maybe I've been reading too much Joe Abercrombie, but maybe we should just kill him so he doesn't harbor a grudge and come for us.
No, you got to hedge your bets. Again, I will repeat that I am removing the option from you. You're not making a choice here. This is what's happening to him. He's
going,
nope.
We're the players. We're the players.
Nope.
Nope.
All right.
So okay, you get him stashed, you know, like Charlie has like a little, like, you know, a little cramped bed and you throw a bolus in it. You don't really have to patch him up. You didn't really stab him or shoot him or anything. So you just kind of set him up. You think he'll recover. Just
tenderized him.
You just tenderized him lightly, to really bring out the flavor. So you guys are there with Charlie. Charlie's like, well, I suppose he'll be okay. I really don't know if the rats are actually dealt with, though.
No, Charlie, don't you fucking do that to us.
We held up our end of the bargain.
You heard those noises. Yeah.
Yeah, well, okay. I've seen what you do to people you disagree with, so I'm gonna... There's three of you, and one of Charlie, so I suppose... I suppose you twisted my arm. Alright, let's go. And Charlie will kind of strike out. He actually heads back over to the elevator, and he's like, all aboard! You know, and this time you guys go even further down. And, you know, and as they go down, you know, you pass several floors, you know, many of which appear to be almost completely dark. You can see, you know, like a hallway, you know, either left or right or stretching directly away from the, you know, the grill that he pulls over the entry to the elevator. You know, many of them are almost completely dark, maybe one or two kind of blinking lights, you know, just barely, you know, and maybe in one or two of these you can just make out something or someone moving at the edge of the light, you know, whatever light source is there. But eventually you do come to another hallway that still this burgundy... floor, you know, you guys are still in the basement, so it's not like as nice as it is upstairs. You know, instead of there being kind of like oak wood paneling that has seen better days, instead of that, it's really kind of like shitty, kind of like sheetrock, you know, just like cheap. This is very much like a basement kind of feel. You know, this is behind the scenes of the hotel. And you see that there are it's kind of like a stained carpet, you know, that kind of extends out in front of you. And there is only one way, just straight down away from the elevator. There appears to be no way to deviate left or right. Seems to go on very straight, very far. So, yeah. So, at this point, this is something I haven't done for a while. What's going through these characters' heads? Like, where are their heads at? As far as, like, everything that's happened. Because I really haven't asked you guys this about your characters since you guys came to the Hotel Broad Albin. Like, what about Benedict? Like, everything that's happened since you guys have gotten here. Like, I think, like, do you have any, like, physical damage or anything like that? Like, is Benedict still doing okay, or?
Yeah, he's on half hit points. Just under half. Sanity's still okay. But he's, I think, defeated by this story at this point. Like, he's in between not knowing what's real, what's not. He's half expecting to wake up. The shit that we're seeing regularly is becoming normalized, so he's just, I think, going with it at this point, and deeply aware that all of this could just be a hallucination.
Right.
And none of it is real.
Yeah. Okay, so it sounds like Benedict is just, like, waiting for everything he sees or does to just not matter.
Yeah. He's seen Hank die.
Right.
He's seen Benji almost die twice. So it's like, what means anything anymore? He'll half expect, if somebody actually dies, to just be like, no, get up. Yeah. Stop that.
Well, okay, what about Benji? Benji's at one willpower point, I believe, which means he does everything at a negative 20. Aren't you sleepy too? Aren't you also tired?
I would have to check my character sheet, but I think if I could use one word to describe Benji right now, it's unraveling. I think like, he's never been closer to getting to the truth of this King in Yellow business. Like, we're literally in some fantastic place that exists in some plane that is not Earth, really.
Right.
But also, this is some fucking nasty business that we just went through with the private... what's his name?
Lobolus.
Rovan?
Yeah.
Lobolus.
And he's probably, like... He's not that kind of guy. Like, I think I mentioned a few episodes ago, like, in Vampires, that would be a stain on your humanity.
Right, right.
Like, that would be a mechanical stain on your humanity.
Well, you know, there was that bit where Benji actually tried to hit Lobolus with the pickaxe. Like, imagine being fighting with someone on the ground and someone striking you with a pickaxe. Like, Benji had to have thought, like, this is going to kill him. I'm going to kill him.
Totally. Well, I don't think there's much thought involved, but now that you bring it up, this is the second time an incident like that has happened. Like, when he lost it with Barbus.
Right. Yeah.
Like, maybe he's wrestling with himself. Like, maybe he actually is a killer. Like, maybe he's got this instinct that he didn't know about. I mean, people do some wild shit when they're put into situations like that.
Right. Well, I just looked it up, so... It says it is at the handler's discretion on whether you get a negative 10 or a negative 20 for being exhausted. I'm going to give you a negative 10 if you don't fix your... So you're now at a negative 30 to everything.
So let's find a little napping post as soon as we can.
Yeah, like, Benji is not well. If you mess up you're trying to sleep again, you're going to be at a negative 40.
Okay. But if I can find some drugs or booze or something...
If you can find some drugs or some booze or something, you might be able to... Yeah, that might help you out a lot. as it does in real life. It's
Until it doesn't.
Right, until it doesn't. What about Hank? I'm sorry, do you have something else?
Nope, that's it.
Okay. Yeah, what about Hank?
I feel like Hank thinks he's on borrowed time since he's died once. Just had that vision of, I guess it was Benji that was dead in the, like, room that he fixed. So I don't think Hake expects actually to go back to the real world in his heart of hearts. Wow.
And he's like, I'm dying here somewhere.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And then also, I think he's severely disappointed in his teammates that they sent Lobolus in there. And then, because Hank did not want to do that. So there might be some tension between him and his teammates slightly.
Like, okay. I think we need to differentiate between what Brad wanted last time and what Hank wanted last time.
Yeah, that's what I'm...
No, it's accurate.
That's Hank. He's thinking, I mean, Benji swung that pickaxe. Could have been at him. Maybe he's willing to pickaxe old Hank if the cards were stacked against him. Who knows?
Well, and I think that Hank, you know, like, think back to when you guys were in the safe house that was provided to you by Malpheus, the demon. That bit where Hank was saying to Benji, like, hey, like, maybe you should take that cloak off. And Benji was like, I can't. You know, it's like, I think for, especially when it comes to Benji, and tell me what you think, Brad, like, I think Hank, especially when it comes to Benji, for a while has been kind of keeping Benji out, you know, in the corner of your eye. Like, yeah, like when is this guy going to snap? And then maybe even the pickaxe thing, maybe you're like, I think he might have it in for me. Well, Hank literally has paranoia.
It's repressed, I guess, unless it's
currently repressed,
back. But, yeah. Maybe that's it creeping back up. Who knows?
Maybe. Yeah.
Anyway, right. I think that's where Hank is, but still very eager to get to this labyrinth, whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, like, and you say, like, you think that Hank thinks you're never going home. Like, at this point in time, is it just like, well, why still go to the labyrinth?
Right. Just as...
Hank also stole a little doll of...
Benji.
Abigail, Abigail Wright.
I made sure to write that on my character sheet, and I wasn't going to bring it up because I was hoping I could stump Joe with it at the worst possible moment.
Sorry.
Benji did.
Benji did, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, like I said, I hadn't asked you guys that for a while, but, like, you know, as you guys, you know, maybe there's a moment of, like, because, you know, maybe as the elevator goes down, maybe it has to go down for, like, a while. And, like, you guys have, like, this, you know, this odd kind of moment of reflection kind of available to you.
And Hank is also, he's half hit points, which is probably bigger, more hit points than Benedict. He's on 8 out of 15.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, and about that.
He's only 7 sandy points away from a breaking point, like another one.
Go ahead and take 2 hit points back.
Everybody? Oh.
No, just Hank.
Nice.
Oh, because the doctor.
From the doctor.
The Grim Reaper that doesn't kill people.
Yeah, Hank, throughout all of this, you know, it's like there's a moment where it's like, you know, you do feel... Yeah, and I don't... Okay, here's something interesting. I've never played Call of Cthulhu, but I've watched a lot of, you know, or listened to a lot of podcasts and watched a lot of people play it. They have this thing in Call of Cthulhu where if something, sometimes if something supernatural happens, you actually have to roll an intelligence check to determine whether or not you know it's unnatural. And you actually want to fail. Because if you know it's unnatural, then it has unnatural implications, and that's dangerous.
That sounds like fun.
I'm
kind
of thinking, actually, right now about maybe Hank doing one of those. And if Hank is like, wow, I'm healing way too fast, then maybe he does a sanity roll.
Ooh, I like it.
Nice.
So no, I won't. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Well,
that's so... Maybe it should happen if he gets...
I failed.
91 over 60.
Congratulations.
Hank, you don't think nothing of it.
I've always been pretty strong. You know?
I've always healed quickly.
This is from vacillating from I'm going to die down here to I feel like I played football.
I feel like a million bucks. All right. Okay.
Back in the glory days in high school.
You guys. Yeah. So you guys get down here and there's just this long, long straight hallway, you know, like, you know, unfinished ceiling, you know, like you can kind of see like wiring and piping, you know, kind of like hanging kind of loosely above the lights and stuff like that, along with these tracks in the ceiling, which you guys have seen, you know, many times in many different iterations. So Charlie,
is this us, Charlie?
Yep, this is it.
Where to?
You said you want
to... Is this like a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory elevator that goes horizontal, too? Are you...
Nope. You typically...
You get us a bit closer.
This is typically the part where you step out of the elevator and use your feet.
Aha! You understood the reference. That tells us when you were alive in the real world.
I mean, Chocolate Factory?
You got me. You've solved my Charlie puzzle.
So Charlie, what are we in for here? Why are we here?
You wanted to go to the labyrinth, didn't you?
Yeah. Yes. But what's in the labyrinth?
You got any advice on what we can expect? Anything we can get prepared for?
Whoa.
What goes on in the
Minotaurs.
Labyrinth?
Minotaurs.
Well, honestly, you're actually... You know what? I noticed you got your pickaxe and your rope and your mining helmet. That's actually pretty good. Dark in there. Who knows what you find? I haven't been there in a while. My knees and my back, I just can't get around like I used to. I mean, I always want to go back.
You know, and he kind of gets far away, you know, when he says that.
Why? What's in there?
He looks.
What makes you want to come back?
He looks up at you with a look like you're, like, what are you, an idiot? He's like,
my bottle. It's in there.
Is that where everybody's bottles are?
Well, yeah. Until you find them.
Why does the sommelier bring the bottles down here out of every place in the hotel?
That's where they go. That's where they're hidden. I've seen other people's, but never my own. Never my own.
And you actually think back at this moment. You think back to a photo you once saw of yourselves. Photos that you once saw of yourselves on a television screen, on a news channel report, after you guys had gotten out of the Dorchester, where there were pictures of you guys, you know, saying that you were dangerous, armed and dangerous, you know, out on the news. But you remember seeing these pictures of you all, but in kind of, you could see in the bottom of the pictures, these were pictures that you never remembered having taken of you. And you all remember the pictures of yourself holding bottles. And there's even this part of each of you kind of deep down that's like, my bottle must be there too. And maybe I would say of all of you, I'd say Benji especially. Benji especially can feel it.
Mm-hmm. Charlie, one more thing before we go. Do you know of anyone that has ever found their bottle in the labyrinth?
Oh, a few. A few that I know of who I've seen with them.
And are they any different once they find their bottle? Do they feel satisfied or whole again?
Well, the bottle answers everything. It's the secret. I mean, the secret's different for everybody, you know, but it's got the answer. Whatever answer you need, it's in there.
You can, you know, and you know, Charlie's a little bit wily. The more he talks about this, the more wily he gets.
All right, calm down. Enough of that.
I remember that, like, young fella, had a funny name, Samahina. Yeah, that's it. Young fella, nice. His pants were all ripped up. He said he wanted them that way. I offered to patch them up for him.
Oh, God.
Okay, that was the son.
That's the kid.
Of that, the guy that was liquefied in the bathtub.
Yeah, he probably liquefied him.
Yeah. You know, and a few others along the way.
Well, probably be down there for a while. Might be we find your bottle, Charlie.
Charlie.
What do you think about that?
Charlie full on. And Charlie's a very small man. You know, like, Benji's normal height, I guess, or...
Tall and lanky.
Tall and lanky, okay. He turns you in. I mean, he's probably 5'6". He's quite small. Maybe he was taller once. You know, he's like, he's just kind of shrunken in his old age. He turns to you and he kind of takes your hand, Benji. He's like, would you do that for old Charlie? Charlie can't go down there and find my own anymore.
Might be we could. We'd see it. I'll be sure to hold on to it.
You remember my real name, Guido Antonucci. You find
right,
my...
Right, Charlie.
Okay.
Guido okay. Antonucci, I got it. I'm just fucking with Charlie. Charmeister, Charman Master.
Punches him.
Charmander.
Playfully.
That's what they call me.
all right, yeah. we'll be getting on our way, and hopefully we'll see you not too long. From there.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, let's go this way.
If we... Can we just call you if we need to get back up?
I'm afraid it's not that simple.
Well, how the hell are you getting back?
I'm not going in with you. I'm stopping at the entrance.
More importantly for you, if we do find your bottle, how can we get it to you?
How do we get it back?
Well, you come back to the hotel.
Any particular tips on how to do that? Getting here the first time wasn't quite so easy. One of us literally had to die.
Nope.
Roger.
Nothing for you. most folks come back to the hotel on the, like, most people. And they go, the labyrinth is hard to find. It's called a labyrinth, for Christ's sakes. Like, it's... the clue's in the name.
No, that just means it's hard to navigate. It ain't inherently hard to find the entrance to the labyrinth.
And there may be a Minotaur.
And there might be a Minotaur.
Charlie, there might be a Minotaur.
And you said nothing about the Minotaur.
No Minotaurs. Hold on, let me make a note. Let me cross something out. Minotaur.
Okay.
All right.
You guys got anything else?
Wait. A map, Charlie.
Don't got a map. Nobody's got a map.
How do we find our way around?
Beats the hell out of me.
Okay, where's south?
Don't know.
All right. Thank you, Charlie. We'll be on our way.
Valiant effort. Valiant effort.
Because we've got a map. We would be better if we found out where south was. Do you have a map?
I think he's the one we got forever ago. Well, the Hotel Broad Owl one thing.
Yeah, Hotel Broad Album. It's got Elev or Ellen on it with a big cross and basement. And then heading south is a little corridor. And then WL and then JL bottle. Is that the X?
Okay, you...
Where's this on the murder board?
It's on the murder board to the far left.
Next to Mosby.
Yeah, let me... So this is something that you guys found, unless I'm mistaken, back in 1995.
Way back.
And I'm actually just realizing that I never fixed our names on the stream. So let me do this real quick.
Joe, do you think anybody's going to forget?
I think it'll be fine. I think it'll be fine. So...
Oh, wait, sorry. Are they on there? Music from a Doctor Who?
Yeah. Anyway, so...
okay.
Did I forget to mention that Benji got that map tattooed on his body? Wow.
That's Prison Break style.
Like, yeah. I will say that if nothing else, you probably recall this. And, you know, for those, you know, watching live, you know, this is just a reminder here what this is. This is what we've got. This map from all this time ago, and it seems like we might actually have something to do with it now. Now, you're still not there, by the way. You haven't gotten to the Whispering Labyrinth yet.
Excuse me, the what labyrinth? The,
wait, you're not there. What? I'm sorry, did you guys think you were there?
Charlie, last question. Why does the labyrinth whisper?
I think it might just be a name. I wouldn't read too much into it.
Ah, oh, you're so full of shit. Steps out of the elevator. Yeah. God damn it.
So you guys step down, and Charlie goes along with you for a little while. And at one point in time, and there are a few doors along the way, and you hear different things, and maybe even, maybe even behind you at some point in time, you hear a door open, and maybe Hank glances back just in time to see a kind of bellhopped person just see their back go, exit one door and then immediately go in the door directly across the hallway. And like, you don't know, was it a person? Was it a mannequin? There's just no way to know. You hear sounds in the distance. Maybe even you hear a bark, behind one of these doors, and there's a moment where it's like, oh, is that Ham? Charlie seems intent on leading you guys. You go for quite some time, and it gets to the point where you actually, if any of you turn back to look back to the elevator, it's getting to the point where the elevator is so far away that it's almost, like when something's in the distance and it's almost hazy because it's like so far away. Like, it's almost like as if there is a haze here. And
jeez.
At some point in time, Charlie's an old guy and he kind of totters. He's not like super, super quick. Eventually you see down at the end, he says like, well, I think this will be the one. It's a bit of a toss up. Here we go. And it's like a big double door. It's like the big, big fire doors, with the push bar. Right? Mm-hmm. And he pushes one of them open. And I would like... Actually, hold on. Who is it going to be? It's Benji. Benji, make me a sanity check.
Sure thing, good buddy. Okay, sanity, blah, blah, blah. Do I have to take negatives to that?
Ooh, that is a good mechanical question.
Is it skills or is it?
No, it's skills roll.
Is it just skills?
Well, I know for the sleep, for the exhaustion, a negative 10 to skills, stats, and sanity.
Okay.
Oh.
Skills, and for stats, low sanity. Willpower, a negative 20 to all actions. So I'm going to call those skills. I'm not going to call a sanity check an action.
Well, I failed a raw check anyway without negative modifiers.
All right. Okay, in that case, he opens the door and he's like, oh, hell. And you see in front of you, as you kind of look over his shoulder, he's like, well... The entrance should be on the other side. I didn't really want to go this way, but you look over his shoulder and you see in front of you a room that is both wide. It's like a big, huge, square, wide room. Probably at least like 30 meters square, like a big, big room, and probably what, 20 meters tall. This beautiful big ballroom.
Oh, interesting.
And all hanging on the walls are beautiful. Beautiful curtains. And, beautiful at first glance. When you look at them, they actually kind of look to be a little bit threadbare, kind of moth-eaten, kind of. And there are, the columns that are kind of built into the wall. The gilding, the gold gild is flaked off in many places. And there is a little stage off to the side. And all around, hanging from their strings, are probably 100 marionettes. and they're all hanging limp and unused, as if they were paused in the middle of whatever their last action was. Most of them are not clothed. You know, they're just the raw wood, you know, of these marionette figures. But some of them look like bellhops, and some of them are dressed as like some kind of average looking people. Benedict, make me an alertness.
Do I take any consequences from that failed sanity check?
You don't.
Okay.
Actually, everyone make me alertness.
That's a success. 25 under 55.
Okay.
Failed.
And failure for Benji.
As...
Check those boxes.
As you guys walk...
Yep.
As you guys kind of enter, I'm not going to say you walk into the middle of them yet. You probably wouldn't appreciate that. As you guys are peering through, or maybe you just kind of enter the room or just standing near to the door, you know, did Benji you get a success?
Failure,
okay. But Benedict got a success. He looks out, and I would say that the other two of you, you recognize that this is definitely, you know, those outfits that you had seen back in the laundry room that you saw in Esther Samahina's sewing room. These are them. Like, these are very, very similar to those. But Benedict, you look out and you see, I'm going to say, two mannequins that are clothed. One of them is wearing a kind of like a tan suit that looks like sweat stained. You know, like the tie is like undone and loose around its neck, and it has a great big dark brown stain around three holes in its chest, and kind of sticking out of the holes are this tissue paper, you know, meant to look like gore or viscera. And then the last one, the other one you see, maybe you see it at the very far end, and Benedict, this is the one that chills your blood. You see a mannequin dressed like in a smart, kind of crisp, button-up shirt, like light blue, the pair of like kind of business casual slacks, you know, like trendy but functional shoes. But it looks like the mannequin is drenched wet, as you recognize probably something that you never thought you would ever see again. Jeremy's clothes.
Oh shit.
Draped over this mannequin. Make a sanity check for me, please, for Benedict.
Wowie.
That's a fail.
Okay, go ahead and take that one sanity damage.
So they're all just like, they're just stagnant sitting here.
They're all stagnant, and you look up in the ceiling, and the rails.
And Marcus.
Yeah. And not Marcus. Well, you know, you say that as you look around, you might find a Marcus. You might find.
But that's not a three-hole Marcus.
No. You know anyone else who got shot three times in the chest?
A weird tie.
But that... Is that Hank?
No. No, I was thinking Barbus. I was thinking Dr. Barbus.
Yeah. Is there a Timothy Bile mannequin? That's the director, right?
There is not. You don't see anything that reminds you of what Timothy Bile was wearing. But, you know, there are some here and there, you know, and the more and more you look, I'm going to tell you, especially Benedict, who, and I don't know if he shares what he's seen with you or not. This might be a meatball situation, you tell me. But Benedict, the more and more you look, the more and more you think you see the clothes of people you've encountered upon your journey, especially those who have died.
How far away are they? How far away is Jeremy?
I would say that right now you guys are kind of standing. Like I said, it would be rude of me to just stick you in the middle of them.
To go into.
So
the
there middle, you are, yeah, surrounded. You know, so you guys are like standing at the edge of the edge of this ballroom.
Charlie, what?
Okay,
Charlie, what the hell is this? I guess Hank's kind of oblivious to if these are of any significance or look like anyone who is like, Charlie, what the hell is this?
Well, it's this ballroom, you know, the mannequins.
And he points up and you see that instead of there being like kind of single tracks.
Oh, meatball.
If you don't want to look up, but he points up. He's like, you know, the mannequins, you know, and he points up.
We had some run-ins with them in the past. Are these, dangerous?
I wouldn't disturb them. Didn't want to go this way, but we can go through.
Just don't touch any of them.
Can we go around?
What?
Can we go around?
I would say that you could probably, like the place is pretty thick with them. I would say that you could probably move amongst them.
I bet you would say that.
That's what I would say.
If you saw Joe's face, you'd know it's a trap.
Just go through.
Until Ham comes and
just
says
go and
hi
give
to
one
us,
a hug.
And then, you know, activates.
All right.
I was about to.
Charlie, how can we best navigate through them without disturbing them?
Carefully. Here we go.
And Charlie is going to kind of start weaving in between them. And it's like, you know, and Charlie's pretty small, you know, and he doesn't seem to be, he doesn't seem to mind them that much. He does seem to be careful. You know, you watch him as he goes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they're right. Like a mosh pit density. You know, like they're not like they're all kind of spread out. And again, like, you know, it looks like, you know, maybe they were in like the middle of like a grand dance. You know, so there's some kind of regularity to their dispersal, but not like
paired up.
Yeah,
I guess Hank will follow, but also he's moving behind Charlie, be like, is the ballroom always full of mannequins?
Oh yes, always here, always have been.
Hmm.
You know, so are you guys gonna follow him?
Benji says,
"You too."
I'm so sleepy and I'm also insane. I don't feel good about this. This is gonna be hard for me.
Benedict will say to both of them, "Listen. This is way too many. If anybody many gets guys. Stuck, I want you. If I get stuck, I want you to just go through. Go through.
You don't want me to shoot you in the head and put you out of your misery?" Okay.
No, not even that, Hank. I appreciate it. That's not, very not kind. That's
downright
in
nice.
Your way.
That's a thoughtful man.
But not okay. today.
What is Benedict going to do something?
Okay. Well, he's gonna follow, but he's just saying, "Don't stop."
Right. Let's just try to be extra careful and don't down, touch don't anything.
Stop. I'm sure it won't come to that, Benedict.
Yeah. You guys begin to. You guys begin to, kind of move between them. And again, it's a pretty big room, and there's kind of like almost this what's that classic movie with the woman who's breaking into the bank, and there's all the lasers. And she's like going Ocean's between them. Yeah, it's like one of the Ocean's movie or something.
It
has a scene.
The Fox
has that, but I know what Joe's. There's a older movie that
Catherine
was
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yes, I don't remember the name of the movie though, but it is her. It's like kind of like that in a way. Like you're kind of having to kind of move around. You know, there's like two mannequins. Their arms might be again. They're not like. Perfectly positioned, you know, because they're kind of limp. It's like they kind of got stuck in, you know, in the middle of something. Their heads are kind of to one side, you know, and the arms are a little bit odd.
Were they all doing Thriller?
And you're kind of like,
there's Michael Jackson.
Holy shit. That actually kind of makes sense a little bit if you think about it.
But you look at it and it's actually, you're like, no, I actually think that's Prince, but then the Thriller thing doesn't really make sense.
The King in Purple.
He's wearing a blouse. It's Prince.
That's definitely a blouse.
Game. Blouses.
Blouses. You guys are weaving your way through, and there is, as you go, you know, it's like there is this kind of unnerving feeling, you know, as you guys go, and I think we've talked about kind of this hollow, kind of like, you know, those wooden wind chimes, you know, we've talked about this sound before, this kind of knocking sound. Maybe as you're going, maybe like even like the kind of wind from your passing kind of rustles one or two of these things as they just slightly sway, and you hear that kind of knocking sound. I will say, Benedict, as you are going, you know, Benedict is constantly, his eyes are drawn back to Jeremy, to the Jeremy mannequin. And at one point in time, you look back and, you know, maybe at first it's just his arms are kind of down. And then you look back and its arms are kind of like raised up, like toward you.
It's one of those things where every time you turn away, it slightly changes position.
No, and it's
so wait. So, refresh
this is my least favorite Joe. Is there anything I can do to like not do this, to not be fixated on Jeremy?
No, you're a little fixated.
Why is he wet? Oh, is that something new or?
Oh, he got stuck in the closet and came out drenched. We left him in the closet accidentally. What about a power roll, Joe?
Ooh, what a good use of a power roll. Absolutely, Jean. Give me a power roll for Benedict.
And you know what? Double or nothing. Because I made a good suggestion, I get a joken if I
do
get this
not
right.
Press your luck.
Oh! Critical success!
Nice.
Alright, you son of a bitch. What was your was it a crit?
Yeah, it's a crit.
Oh, jeez.
It's a crit.
Fine.
Yes.
No joking for you.
Wait, what? I don't get a joke. What do I get with
no,
my crit?
No, you, power you know, there's, roll. So, you know, you're like weaving your way through it and you kind of look up and you kind of, you know, but you look back one last time and the mannequin's back where it was. You know, kind of arm, kind of shoulder slumped again, kind of there at the edges. You know, like maybe you just kind of look and you see, like, from the end of its little weird mannequin hand, just the water dripping off. But you look back and you're like, you know, this might be the moment where Benedict says to himself,
"No,
meatball."
And he's also like checking in with reality.
He's gone.
Jeremy's
gone.
Jeremy was taken. Yeah. No.
Hank.
And you'll say,
Hank hears Benedict's like kind of talking to himself. He's like, "Hold on there, Benedict. We're almost through this. Stay focused."
No, I got this. It's just mannequins. I got this.
You should not. You should not. I will not shoot you, and you should not feel guilty about anything you've done. Ever.
You shouldn't feel guilty about,
especially the people you had
bonds into the mission.
Especially people you were personally responsible for, and may have come to a tragic end.
Not your
fault. Gotta be realistic about these things.
Hank, this isn't the time.
All right.
But I'm just sensing a bit of
stress. Just a tiny bit. Okay, you guys continue to weave your way through. So I am gonna need some type of check from you guys.
Like a dex? I figured. To not hit anything?
What do you think? You tell me what your character uses to navigate the situation. Sell it to me.
Oh, yeah.
Intelligence.
I don't know about intelligence.
Well, I mean, is it a physical navigating or is it a mental task?
You could,
to go
you could,
and find. Oh, you,
there is a legit argument for
that.
You
could argue
to stay focused.
To stay focused. And, well, that would be power, really, to stay focused.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, I'll take the power roll. I just rolled. I'm okay with that.
No. All right. Okay,
I think deck. We can each choose, kind of sell you something.
You can each choose your own.
Let's do. I'm gonna say Hank's gonna. Can he use just dexterity? Because you know, he hasn't
because
noticed
that's
any
a good role for him.
No, because he hasn't noticed anything. You know, okay. With the learned check, he hasn't seen anybody that he recognizes as a mannequin. It just looks like a very strange mannequin room. So I'm gonna roll dex.
Okay,
if that's okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what about for you, Jean?
I choose intelligence because of my good argument, and somebody's gonna have to drink. Because I make great arguments, and you're getting drunk tonight, motherfucker.
What about for Dace or for not for Dace? Dace does shouldn't roll anything. It should be
Benji.
Benji.
Right.
Bad times.
Charisma.
With being one of, if not the foremost scholar of the occult in the world, is there any way that I could use my knowledge of the occult and not triggering these mannequins? Like, maybe I've read something about their awareness. They don't see, hear, smell.
Such a
Can
thin
I
argument.
Tamp down my aura, my occult aura?
What is my face telling you that I think about this? What do you...
You look intrigued and a little bit horny, if I'm being honest.
I am not entertained by this.
All right, I'm roll decks.
All right, everyone, let's see what we got.
All right, rolling.
Success for Hank.
Fuck. Failure for Benji without the negative mods. I failed so hard.
Okay.
And I failed outright, 97 over 70.
All right.
One of my strongest.
Okay. You guys... okay. You guys are going to... You guys are making your way through. Hank is, like, doing the limbo at one point in time. There's, like, a mannequin whose legs are spread kind of far apart. And he's just, like... He's right down there. He's just really making it happen. You know, the other two of you, Benji, you know, you're not as spry as you used to be, kind of thing. And Benedict, you know, you kind of maybe you see a different way. You know, because again, like, you know, Charlie is so
straight
small, like he's just kind of wiggling his way through play areas that you guys probably can't. You know, and you're trying to kind of figure out your own alternate route, and you kind of end up in a space where you're kind of like surrounded. You know, like on all sides, you kind of have to go back. So I am going to roll a dice, and that dice is going to determine what we're going to end up doing, probably for the next session. I'm going to imagine.
Okay.
So, this is a luck roll. I'm gonna roll
the
luck roll for you guys. We want a 50 and below.
Okay. Well, that's an 80.
Benedict is on his way back. And Benedict, as you go back and you're trying to worm your way back the way you came, you feel something on the back of your calf. And you look down, and you have brushed up against one of these mannequins. And you see its legs swaying back and forth with the very real, you know, force of your impact, as slight as it was. Kind of rocking back and forth. And your eyes move up the mannequin as we see that it is wearing a trench coat and a gas mask, and its body is covered in bullet wounds. Just absolutely massacred.
Oh, good, it's dead.
I need you to make me a very important sanity check. Like, really important.
Yeah. That's a success. Nice. 39 under 64.
Take one sanity damage. You look up as this thing moves, and there's a moment where, and the other two of you, like I said, Benedict kind of went off his own to try to get through this thing, and you hear the sound of Benedict falling to the ground. Because Benedict, you see this mannequin reach, you see it open up its trench coat and reach in as if to grab a weapon. And you reflexively, like, fall back, like, to shield yourself. And the other two of you freeze and turn to Benedict. And Benedict, when you look back up, you realize the mannequin wasn't moving at all. It was just settling into position. You take a moment. You breathe very, very deeply. You worm your way back through. And Benji and Benedict join Guido Antonucci and Hank on the other side of the ballroom.
I'm confused. I thought we failed, but we have not failed.
The sanity check was very important.
That probably would have animated all of them.
And that is probably a good place for us to call this one.
Okay, shout out to the sanity check on Patreon. I am so curious how what the chances of a TPK would have been if that trap had gone off. Or, like, certainly character
wait,
death.
Wait a second. What makes you think it was a trap?
I really wanted to say fool of a took.
Fool of a took.
All right. Everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. If you want to get the episodes a week early, you've heard the spiel before. Join us over on Patreon. Your support means a lot to us. I don't think I actually thanked one of our new contributors, Art.
Hey, Art.
Or maybe that was someone we had before and they changed her name. I don't know, but thank you anyway, Art.
Congratulations on the name change.
That's how you get extra thanks.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
Art had... I don't know. Did I mention this one? I might have mentioned this already. This one that was where Art had said that they really wanted to see Finn and Louie play D&D. I might have mentioned.
I think that did come up.
Maybe it did
and
come up.
I'm so into it.
But yeah,
That would be such a good. That would be an awesome Patreon.
I don't know. But yeah, but thank you very much. And if you want to get the sanity checks where we talk about, you know, what we've done, hit us up on Patreon. We really appreciate it. Or, hey, if you can't help us that way, tell a friend about us. Like, tell a friend about us or liking us or reviewing us wherever you're listening, wherever you're watching. It helps other people find us. And we really appreciate all you guys done. And you guys, thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you for joining us today.
Good one.
Thank you.
Everyone who is watching live, stand by. We are going to take a break and be back. And for everyone else, everyone listening or watching later, thank you very much for joining us. And as always, remember, stay safe and stay sane. Bye.